Welcome to episode number 4 of the Bearded and Nerdy Podcast, your home for news and review for some of the biggest events in superhero culture. We're talking movies, TV shows, comics, conventions, you name it. I got it. I am your host, Michael Georgie, and today I am being joined by my co-host, Duncan Miller. That's right, the What's dynamic up? Duo.
I am back.
It's back.
It's Batman. Good to be back.
Exactly. Batman and Robin ain't got nothing on us. And we have quite the show for you today.
Yes, we do.
When Duncan presented me with the topic that we were going to discuss today, I got so excited. The gears started turning and we've prepared well, I think.
I think so.
I've got everything written down, set up, and we are ready to go. But of course, we have a few segments to get through before we get right into the meat of the podcast. So the first thing we do, of course, and Duncan is new to this. Duncan has not joined me since I introduced these little segments. So I'm excited for him to for his input. Very first thing we're going to do is talk about some news. There was quite a bit of news between the last podcast and this one in our superhero world. And one of them came in the form of a trailer. Duncan, I did hear that a little trailer hit the interwebs recently. What trailer was that?
We got the another Endgame trailer.
We got an Endgame trailer. And yeah, Endgame is probably the biggest event to hit superhero culture in years, possibly ever.
I would say ever.
Yeah, I mean, now that superheroes are at the forefront of mainstream popular culture, Endgame is definitely the height of that this generation's experience with superheroes. So I'm very, very excited. We got some cool stuff in there. And of course, we could break down the whole thing. But if you're listening to this podcast, you probably already saw it. You're probably very excited, just like us. Also, in more news, got some more MCU stuff. Captain Marvel's opening day weekend was really, really good. It opened up to about $455 million worldwide, making it the second highest debut, solo debut for an MCU movie that's right behind Black Panther. So I actually saw the movie recently and enjoyed it. You're probably going to get a podcast on that relatively soon.
Hopefully I'll be on that
And hopefully Duncan will be on.
I will see it in time.
Yeah, Duncan has not seen it yet, but I'm on spring break and he's not. So there's a lot of business going on in our worlds right now. And the last of my little list of news, and this makes me personally very excited, Aquaman 2 has been confirmed. We don't know anything about it. We don't know what the plot is. We don't even know who's directing it yet, I don't think.
I don't think so.
Jason Momoa did announce that it was greenlit and we're good to go. So expect Aquaman 2 at some point. I think it's funny because I did my DCEU What's to Come podcast last time. And about 2 days after I did that, we got confirmed for Aquaman 2. So that one didn't make the cut. So if you're listening to that podcast later, just know that the timelines got mixed up, and Aquaman 2, I'm sure, will be covered heavily in future episodes. We've got one more segment before we get into the meat of our podcast, and that is it's a favorite of mine. Keeps things personal. Also, I did steal this segment from my friends Marco and Fabio over at the Total Titans Transformation podcast, and that segment is called "What Are We Into This Week?" You know, Duncan and I are not just into superhero stuff. We're into everything, a little bit of everything. So we engage in lots of forms of popular culture. And so let's go ahead and discuss. Duncan, what were you into this week?
Well, I mean, you know, I've been playing Dungeons and Dragons for more than a year pretty consistently.
Duncan goes hard.
But like last week or this weekend, I had two sessions in two different groups. And one of them was just amazing. Like probably the best session I've ever had. We could not stop laughing. Like, we were having such a good time. If you haven't, like, played Dungeons and Dragons, I strongly recommend giving it a try. Like, it's a blast. Georgie's played with me, and he had a good time.
Duncan got me into Dungeons & Dragons. My very first quest was led by Duncan as a DM, and it was a blast. And I wish that we had more time to get the whole crew together to continue our quest, because it is a real blast. And Duncan, why don't you tell the audience how long your sessions last on average?
I mean, we've been trying to keep it down, but it's like the one that I was just talking about was like 7 hours.
And you did two, right?
Yeah. Sunday was 7 hours. Saturday was like 4 or 5.
So that's a shorter one. Duncan was telling me, like, when he was doing some of his earlier quests, they would go like 8 hours long.
We would play like eight and a half hours sometimes.
That is some real dedication. Yeah, no, Dungeons & Dragons is a blast, and you don't have to be really experienced to get into it.
Oh, no, not at all.
Yeah, I jumped into it completely oblivious to the entire culture, and I knew nothing about the rules. As long as one person is experienced, we were lucky to have two experienced people in our in our quest, and it was a real, real blast. So for me, what I've been into this week is I've got, you know, again, I've got a number of interests, and one of the things that I cover on my Instagram, which is the main outlet that I push this podcast on, is a cosplay. So this week I started jumping on a new cosplay that I'm very excited about, and it's difficult. I actually brought my buddy Josue over, and he helped me paint a morph suit that's eventually going to be a base suit for the character from My Hero Academia, Endeavor. Very, very excited to try to get this off. Again, it's an incredibly difficult build. For me, at least. I'm very, very new to this, but I'm so excited. I've been doing cosplay for about a year now. I've produced two of them. And this will be my third. Hopefully, I'll be rounding out a third cosplay, so that way I have a full lineup for MegaCon coming up in May. And I am super excited to debut that one. Actually, it's funny. When we were painting this morph suit, I was wearing it at the time because they have to stretch and to make sure that the paint comes across, you know, accurately. You got to wear it as you paint it. And it actually ended up seeping through the suit. So I was like partially orange for a good chunk of the evening, which was a real blast.
I bet.
But that's what we were into this week. Cosplay and Dungeons & Dragons. Yeah, we're huge nerds. So
on the Bearded and Nerdy podcast?
Yeah, who would have guessed? So let's get into this topic because I'm stoked. I'm really, really stoked.
Me too.
So, Duncan, you made up this topic. Why don't you go ahead and tell everybody what we're going to be discussing today?
Okay. So, you know, a lot of people, they're going to do their top 5 Marvel movies, top 5 Marvel characters, all kinds of stuff leading up to Endgame. I wanted to do something a little bit different. And I wanted to do what are me and Georgie's top 5 most badass Marvel moments. My thought process here was simple. There are just moments in these movies that just, you know, get your heart pumping, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's so cool to see. And I wanted to hear what you had to say about those moments for you and share which moments do that for me.
Excellent. No, and yeah, when Duncan said that was one of his, you see, we had to try to get two podcasts at least done while I was down, so that way we could get as much of the two of us for these podcasts as possible. So I gave Duncan some suggestions for my topics, and Duncan gave me some suggestions for his. The second he sent me this one, I said, we're doing it. We've got to do this. So now, obviously, this is a top 5 list, and it's highly subjective. And one of the things that kind of makes it subjective is each of our definitions of the phrase badass. So now, there is no one way to describe something that's badass. You know, it's kind of its own word. It's got its own definition, you know. So in my opinion, somber moments can be badass, you know. Mm-hmm. It doesn't necessarily have to be action-based. However, at least for me, in the context of the MCU, badass is mostly represented in action form.
Yeah.
And does that ring true for you in
pretty
your
much
list? So, okay, yeah. So we're going to go ahead and say that these moments are, you know, generally pretty action-oriented. You know, for me, they're the moments that in the theater they made, like, the hair on my arm stand up on end. Yeah. And they made my heart race, as you were saying before. And, of course, these are moments. We're not going to go ahead and say that the entire battle on Wakanda in Infinity War is a moment. That's a good, like, what, a quarter of the movie alone. Yeah. It's a while. It's a long time.
It's a long scene.
So generally these moments, they're just that. Moments, they might last 5 seconds. They might be a fight scene, but they're not going to be like a war, you know?
It's not going to be a whole movie.
Or a whole movie. Exactly. Yeah. These are just as we describe them, moments. So we're going to go ahead and get right into this. So the way we're going to do this is this. Duncan is going to go ahead and list a moment of his, and then I'll list a moment of mine, and we're going to alternate. So Duncan will give his fifth, I'll give my fifth, he'll give his fourth, I'll give my fourth, and then we're going to have some honorary, you know, some, what are they?
Honorable mentions.
Honorable mentions. I slipped.
It's all good. Do you want to start with those?
Actually, I think I would like to finish with those.
Okay.
Because oftentimes they're honorable mentions because there's a technicality involved, you know, so we want to make sure that we get a good basis for what we define as our most badass moments. And of course, it's hard to limit it to just five. I don't know about you, Duncan, but I had like 10 or plus. I had like 15.
I had a lot.
I had to whittle them down. And I actually, funny enough, so after I discussed this, I shared them with my brother and my dad. And then we went home that night. This is actually after I was seeing Captain Marvel. Uh-huh. And my brother and I went on YouTube and we watched all these moments.
I rewatched all the ones I picked. Yeah,
just to make sure that they were as impactful as I remember them being. And in pretty much every case, they were. So, and one thing that you might encounter, we have not discussed this yet. This is completely raw, uncut, unfiltered. There might be some
for better or for worse.
And for sure we're gonna have some overlap, because you know that these moments, if they're badass for us, chances are they're badass for everyone.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to seeing, and we haven't revealed any of that yet. So, and of course, if there's overlap, we're not gonna mention it until we get to that one.
Yeah.
So Duncan, let's get right into it. So what is your fifth most badass moment in the MCU?
Okay, so this actually maybe goes a little bit against what we were just saying about action. There is lots of action in this scene. Mm-hmm. It's just a different sort of action. Number five for me is Peter Parker lifting the rubble off of himself in Spider-Man Homecoming.
Oh my gosh,
I love that scene. That scene, like, I find it very impactful. It's a huge character moment. It shows how strong Spider-Man is, and you really get to struggle with him. You watch as he's trying so hard, and there's so much on the line, and he does it. And that success, it's just exhilarating to watch. I love it.
No, that's incredible. And one thing I think that's really great about that moment is that when you're watching Homecoming, there's moments when Peter Parker is Spider-Man that you forget that he's a kid.
Yeah.
And when you see him trapped underneath all that rubble, you remember not only is he, you know, he's struggling as Spider-Man, he's struggling as a high schooler.
Yeah.
And that makes the moment so much more incredible, because Spider-Man becomes really human in that moment, because he struggles just as much as anybody else. Mm-hmm. This is an incredibly difficult feat for him as both Spider-Man and Peter Parker. Everything is on the line. Mm-hmm. That is an incredible moment. And it's something I almost completely slipped my mind.
Yeah.
That is incredible. Good choice for your number five.
Yeah. Well, what about you? What's your number five?
So my number five, and the reason why it's my number five, is because it gives us a lot of firsts. Mm-hmm. My number five is the Iron Man cave escape.
Okay.
In the first Iron Man movie. And I'll tell you why. Obviously, there's not a lot I need to say. It is badass in every sense of the term. But there's a couple things that make it really impactful in the context of the MCU. Mm-hmm. One, this is the very first time you're seeing a superhero in the MCU.
Yeah.
This is movie number one, and you're seeing Iron Man Mark One. So Iron Man, we don't see anything else. There is no Captain America yet. Our first version of any superhero is Iron Man Mark One. And what's really, really great is when you see in Avengers that you see Captain America and Tony Stark arguing, and they say, take off the suit and see what you're made of. The thing that always kind of bugged me about statements like that, and the statements that a lot of people make about Iron Man, and they say that he's nothing without the suit. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, and this scene shows it, the suit is nothing without Tony Stark.
Yeah.
Because Tony Stark proved that he himself is a superhero because no ordinary genius could construct something that could shoot missiles and flames with the limited resources that he was given and also fly. Granted, it was flawed. You know, he ended up crashing into the desert. But because he was limited on his resources and realized that if Iron Man was given everything or Tony Stark was given everything that he needed at his disposal, he could create what essentially became Iron Man Mark II.
Yeah.
And it's an incredible moment. And also, it's incredible in the context of the MCU when you look back. Because the action has shifted greatly from that moment.
Yes.
In that moment, it's raw. There is no CGI. It's all, you know, it's a big clunky suit. And people and the deaths that are incurred by Iron Man are impactful. Mm-hmm. Because they feel real. I always kind of discuss this when we discuss Iron Man, you and I.
Yeah, we've talked about this before, this idea that the violence in Iron Man feels different than the kind that you see even in like Captain America, the First Avenger. Yeah. It's real people. It's very gritty. It comes across very different from, I think, any of the other MCU movies.
Exactly, because we can't imagine what it's like to get hit with a shield. But we can definitely imagine what it's like to get shot because it happens. It happens in our real world.
Yeah.
And this man created a weapon that we could imagine, like, which is incredible. And especially at the time that it came out, it was an incredibly impactful scene. And I really, really enjoy it. I remember sitting in the theater and just being blown away. And every time I watch that first Iron Man movie, I am blown away by that scene. So yes. Iron Man Cave Escape, Iron Man Mark One Reveal, kind of like, you know, in the same thing, Iron Man Mark One Reveal and the Cave Escape. That's my number five, without a doubt. So let's go ahead. Duncan, what's your number four?
Okay. You might hate me for putting this only at number four.
I might.
Thor, once he unlocks his powers on the bridge in Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah. I don't hate you for that at all because I'll be real. It didn't make my list.
Really? I really liked Thor Ragnarok. Like, I thought it was a cool movie. Mm-hmm. But that scene was really the one that did it for me.
Oh, it was incredible.
Great use of Led Zeppelin.
Top notch. Top shelf.
A great character moment after we spent this whole movie with Thor when he's been weakened to see him be more powerful than he had ever been before.
For sure.
Was really cool. It was like, I think it was a genuinely great payoff for that. He's wounded. He's lost an eye, but he's still going crazy. He's fighting tons of guys. I mean, what's more badass than that?
There was nothing more badass than that.
Several more things because it's only number four on my list.
We have a list,
but,
for sure. No, I completely agree. And that was one that I struggled with not putting on that list. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you the only reason I did not put that on my list is because if I had put every moment that I initially had on my list, all top five moments would have been Thor moments.
audience, there is no surprise there.
Yeah, and this actually hasn't been discussed on the podcast. Thor is my favorite comic book superhero. I am a huge Thor fan, and that moment for me was incredible. One, best use of music, I think, in the entire MCU.
Mm.
I have never felt, and that's, again, totally an opinion of mine.
Yeah.
And one, I've heard the Immigrant Song in other tunes, but in other movies before.
You mean like Shrek 3?
Shrek 3. School of Rock.
Yeah.
And, but that was definitely by far one of the better uses of any Led Zeppelin tune I've heard. It was incredible. It was impactful to see Thor 1 progress as a character all the way from Thor 1 to this is amazing. Incredibly I would think it was a testament to how well-paced that character is.
Yeah.
And, of course, incredible fight.
Well, I think one thing, there was another Thor moment that I was kind of kicking around of Thor the Dark World, which I know some people didn't like. I really like it.
No, Thor the Dark World, I
like Thor the Dark World. There are some moments in there with some of the villains. Like, there was the villain who was the sort of huge guy who's extremely physically imposing. And I thought about it. I don't even remember that guy's name.
Yeah.
He was really cool.
Of course.
But this moment was a character moment. It felt very earned. It wasn't just a big tough guy. So that's why I kind of went with this one instead.
Exactly. And good choice. Good choice. You know, I was kind of hoping that the moments that didn't make my list would make yours.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're moments that need to be discussed. So my number four, and this is a weird one. Mm-hmm. And I don't... I don't know how you're going to feel about this one.
Okay, just...
Another Iron Man.
Okay.
This is Iron Man and War Machine versus Whiplash and the end of Iron Man 2.
I like Iron Man 2.
Iron Man 2, for me, is not a bad film.
Not at all.
Is not a bad film. I'd certainly prefer it to Iron Man 3.
I do as well.
And I feel like that scene gets forgotten because of the kind of like the cultural space that Iron Man 2 has taken since all these movies have been mm-hmm. released. It's kind of one of the more forgotten ones. But I will never forget sitting in the theater and watching War Machine cut an entire drone in half with only bullets. It was absolutely insane. Yeah. And there was that moment. And one thing I'm a huge sucker for are like what I call blast battles. So you know when like the Kamehameha will fight like another blast.
A beam struggle.
A beam struggle. Yes, of course, a beam struggle. I think that was in what, Godzilla?
I think so,
One of the Godzilla games is what they called it.
Yeah, that's like a fighting game classic.
Of course. So... This scene featured one.
Had that.
In this scene, and if you don't remember it, you know, again, I don't blame you. Not a lot of people remember Iron Man 2 as much. Mm-hmm. There was a moment when Whiplash kind of had his pseudo Iron Man outfit at the end of the movie, and he had both War Machine and Iron Man at the end of two of his little electric ropes, and Iron Man and War Machine decide to use like a beam struggle and basically have it explode in between them, thus defeating Whiplash, which mm-hmm. I thought was amazing and super creative, because I'm all about a really creative end to a battle.
Yeah.
You know, obviously there are certain types, there's a bunch of different categories for endings of battles. There's the times when you get like that sort of external inspiration to overcome your enemy purely physically. Mm-hmm. But this is one of those things that this was a Tony Stark moment. This is a moment that required thought and logistics. And it proves that once again, Tony Stark is the superhero, not Iron Man.
Yeah.
And it was Tony Stark's brain that thought of in that high pressure situation that was what was going to defeat mm-hmm. Whiplash. And I thought that that was an amazing moment and an incredible testament to Tony Stark's intuition. So again, makes my number four for sure.
I love it. I think that's a super underrated scene. Yeah, really, like definitely probably the most underrated final battle in a Marvel movie.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean,
so let's go ahead. Now we're getting into dangerous territory here. Duncan, what's your number three?
My number three, I was so glad when you said, you know, the first Iron Man, I was afraid you were going to take this scene. The scene where Tony goes back to Afghanistan and destroys all the terrorists in that town.
Oh my God.
Yes. I love this scene. So kind of what we were already discussing, like the violence in Iron Man kind of hits different. Like he's using guns, repulsors, all this stuff. He just shows up and takes out everybody as not even an issue. He even blows up a tank and does one of the cool guys don't look at explosions. He just turns around. It's like, that's the epitome of badassery. Just, he blew up a tank with a little teeny missile. Nothing.
And
just
he got his comeuppance too.
Yeah. He got his comeuppance against his enemies. He saved a bunch of innocent people. We got to see his now like fully functional kind of main suit
Mark
for the
II,
movie.
I think
yeah,
this was.
Mark
yeah.
II. I love it. It was awesome. That's what sold me when I was a kid, you know, 10 years ago.
Oh.
It's like...
No, justified. Good choice. And I'd almost forgotten about that one. That's what's really great about this list, because now I'm remembering all these moments that I had completely forgotten about. Lots of Iron Man
I know,
today.
We're giving Iron Man a lot of love.
Yeah, absolutely. And Iron Man absolutely deserves it. Iron Man took a risk. Well, the MCU took a risk when making the Iron Man movie. Iron Man was not all that big a deal before these movies. You know,
yeah, I really thought all of your moments would be Thor moments. So I'm glad Iron Man's getting so much love.
Yeah, I had to split it up. I had to split it up. Not to say that these moments came second to these Thor moments. It required some thought. And then I realized that, you know, in many cases, these moments are most certainly, you know, in many cases, these moments beat some of those Thor moments for sure. But my natural inclination is just to look to the Thor movies.
Yeah.
That being said, my number three is a Thor movie.
Okay. I knew there would be at least one.
Of
course. You know what I mean?
And there is. So this is actually what I'll say is my favorite moment in the MCU entirely. But it is not what I would consider the most badass. Not the most badass, but it is most certainly my favorite moment. And
I know what it is.
Yeah, you do. So this is Thor versus the Frost Giants in the very first Thor movie. And there's a couple reasons for this. There's the obvious moments that this is an incredible fight scene. An incredible group fight scene, no less. Because you've got Thor, Loki's there, you got the Warriors 3. Yeah. Which is, of course, for all my Thor fans, seeing the Warriors 3 in the very first, one of the very first shots of the movie is awesome. Because that's the first sign that you know that they got it right.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's really, really great. One of the things I loved about it was the accuracy. So first off, that is exactly how I imagined Thor would fight with his hammer. When you see him swinging it and having it come back to him, there was a lot of really great hammer moments. You know that Thor is obviously incredibly physically powerful, but you don't see him really using his hands all that much. He really makes a lot of use of Mjolnir. And that does set up for like the importance of Mjolnir in that battle does definitely set up the impact of the loss of Mjolnir later in the film. So that was one thing, but a lot of it had to do for me with Thor's personality. So the way Thor is in Infinity War and in Ragnarok is not necessarily how he is originally written in the comic books. He's progressed as a character, and of course the way that he is in the comic books is not sustainable throughout a almost 10 years of movies. The character has to grow. The character has to progress. But in this movie, I thought it was amazing because Thor was, he wasn't smart or not, even funny, kind of. He was like, he was kind of oafish. He was a brute. You know, he was arrogant. He was confident, but he had earned that confidence. I like that idea that Thor isn't perfect. That was what really kind of drew me as a drew me to that character as a kid, because obviously you want your superheroes to do what's right.
Yeah.
But what I thought was great about Thor is that he was overly confident. It's the same reason that a lot of people love about Iron Man. It's what I loved about Thor reading Thor as a kid. Yeah. And when I saw that on screen, I could not believe how right they got that character.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was sold. I was sold from the second I saw that fight, and it still stays with me. And even when I talk about Marvel movies with my family, or I annoy my family with me talking about Marvel movies, the first thing my dad and my brother always come back to is, remember that fight with the Frost Giants? And I will never forget that, seeing that in the theaters.
Oh, yeah.
Such an incredible moment.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely one of the best. It looks amazing. Like,
It's
been many years, and it still holds up perfectly, in my opinion. You get to see so much action right away.
Mm-hmm.
I love that choice. And I think you're right that putting so much importance on Mjolnir really heightens the loss later and makes that an interesting part of the movie, because the audience knows what he can do with the hammer, and we now have to learn what he can do without it. I think that was one of the best choices in the movie. And it's definitely one of the best-looking fight scenes.
Oh, yeah. And one thing as well is the practical effects in that scene are awesome. The Frost Giants look great and vaguely resemble the White Walkers in Game of Thrones. But
this movie was first, though.
This movie was first. And I just exactly like, you know, when you watch – when I was actually going back and watching some of these scenes, I was looking and I was seeing this, that the CGI doesn't necessarily hold up all that well. And –
Iron Man 1 is a good example of that.
Exactly. And kind of Iron Man 2.
Yeah.
But that's nobody's fault. That's just how where technology was at the time.
Yeah.
And that's just the resources we had at the time. But choosing to make this fight mostly practical effects really weighed in on its longevity as a scene.
Yeah.
So
we could do a whole podcast on practical effects and their effects on longevity.
Oh, yeah. Stay tuned for that one, kids. Oh, yeah. That one might actually happen.
I'll be talking about John Carpenter's The Thing.
All right. Well, here we go. Now we're really in the danger zone. No overlap yet.
No, I know.
I'm shocked.
It's crazy.
But I'm glad that we've got like distinct moments.
But see, like, there's never been a moment where you're like, well, that's not badass.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's just like you keep reminding me of moments I hadn't really considered fully. It's like, that's really cool.
Yeah.
My number two is kind of specific.
I love it specific.
The moment in the first Avengers movie, right after Bruce Banner transforms into the Hulk in their final battle, and the camera pans around them as the theme plays, and then they all fight together to close the portal.
Incredible moment.
I love that moment. I remember so vividly, what, like 2012, mm-hmm. I'm sitting in the theater. The theater is completely packed, and I'm watching that scene, and my breath is just taken away. Mm-hmm. Amazing. It was so cool. Every hero has their moment. They managed to balance, you know, the overwhelming strength of the Hulk single-handedly punching those huge monsters out of the sky, with Hawkeye just taking guys down off of walls. Like, it's amazing. I love it.
It is incredible. Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. And it's funny, when I was kind of like discussing, I was trying to consult, because for me, as a huge fan of these movies and this culture, I have a tendency to overanalyze. So sometimes when I'm trying to look for what I would say objectively are some of the best moments, I look to my family and I say, well, what do you guys remember from these movies? And that was something that my brother had mentioned.
Really?
He was saying, oh man, but what about when Hulk like punched the Chitauri?
One shots at One Punch Man.
And I was like, yes. And that was, and you're entirely correct. That moment is incredible. It checks off all the boxes.
Yeah.
It's action-packed. It's impactful. Every character gets their time to shine. It's the first time I think that you see the Avengers as we as a society recognize them.
And it had been built up for so long. I mean, that's what Iron Man was building towards, was mm-hmm. that moment.
Exactly.
And it pays off.
Oh no, great choice. Yeah. We don't even have to over discuss that one. I know. We all know.
Well, what is yours then?
So mine's another Avengers moment.
Okay.
And mine is actually very, very, very similar to yours. But it's not yours.
Still no overlap, guys.
Yeah, still no overlap. Yeah, we are going strong. I have a strange tingling that like our number ones might be the same.
Maybe. I don't know.
But my number two is the Avengers versus Ultron moment, that 360 degree shot when they're in Sokovia.
Yeah.
And that, again, very similar. And that scene clearly harkens back to that moment that you were discussing. But I just remember so, so vividly when in Avengers Age of Ultron, again, a movie that people don't look back on too fondly, and I'll admit it's not perfect, but it's still damn good.
Yeah, it's a heavy hitter. It missteps a couple times, but it's never that bad.
It's never that bad. And this is one of those
moments. Especially
when it's gone. Yeah, this moment makes up for most of those kind of, you know, iffy moments. I just remember, and where I was rewatching it, obviously, you get all the. Obviously, you have the Avengers as we know them, but you've got some new guys in there. You've got Scarlet Witch, you got Quicksilver, and everything is just. And you have Captain. I remember the very first thing I thought was amazing was you see Captain America doing this sort of like prone spin thing, and he just flings the shield, and that slow motion moment quickly goes in right into full. 100% like great paced action.
Yeah.
It's like that slight calm before the storm. The Avengers theme is playing. And I just remember being like, damn.
Yeah.
They got it right. They crushed that moment.
Oh,
it was incredible because you can see Thor in the background swinging the hammer like he normally does.
Yeah.
Everybody's highly involved. And it's just like the start to an incredible series of scenes. And then not 2 minutes later, it takes Vision, Iron Man, and Thor to defeat Ultron.
Yeah.
But, you know, another sort of beam struggle situation, which I love. You know, I'm a sucker for those now.
Oh, yeah.
And I just thought that particular scene was great because impactful, because it shows the Avengers roster growing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and of course we lost one of those guys at the end of that movie.
Yeah.
And one of the few, I would say, impactful deaths that occurred in the MCU, the loss of Quicksilver.
R.I.P. But
an incredible moment, an incredible action-packed, yet nuanced and elegant moment, I would say. Just great.
Very well composed.
Very well composed moment. Yeah. And I just love just the idea of them taking out all the mini Ultrons.
Yeah.
So cool. So are we going
into number one?
Oh my gosh, guys. It's coming. Oh, Lord.
So
what's your number one, Duncan?
You know that I am a huge action movie junkie.
Of course. No, Duncan, I will say before he goes into this, Duncan, the way he has introduced me to a number of my favorite action movies. So if you want to trust this man to come up with a number one best action scene, you absolutely should, because I know his number one is going
to
be perfect.
There's scenes in films I'll come back to frequently. Mm-hmm. The club scene in John Wick.
Of course.
All Might versus Nomu. Scenes like that. Captain America, the Winter Soldier, the elevator fight.
You know.
That scene is so damn good. It builds up amazingly. He's on the elevator. More people are getting on the elevator. More people. There's tension there. He literally just offers them an out. And then the fight starts.
Yes.
And it's just. He's beating people down on an elevator. He's going crazy. Then he jumps out the window.
Yes.
Like, it just keeps getting crazier and crazier. I love this scene. And I find myself, I mean, when I saw it in the theaters, I remember just being like completely floored by the.
Oh, yeah.
Especially, it's like, I think we might differ on this. I really liked Captain America, the First Avenger.
I'm not the biggest fan of that one yet.
In hindsight, my opinion of it has diminished a little. Partially because once I saw Winter Soldier. I mean, it does everything better, and seeing that level of action was really, like, jaw-dropping at the time, and I find myself wanting to rewatch that scene all the time.
Winter Soldier 1 is an amazing film.
Yes.
That I personally believe, when I saw that, I thought it was better than the first Avengers film.
Oh, yeah, I definitely thought it was at least as good, if not better.
Yeah, incredible, and our number ones are not the same. Again, no overlap, guys. We got 10 distinct moments. Y'all are lucky. And or unlucky, depending on how you look at it. But that moment is incredible because it's one of the very few, I think, almost classic action scenes.
Yeah.
One of my favorite form of action, and I'm surprised that, you know, obviously with all the beam struggles and the hammer usage that's on my list, I love hand-to-hand combat,
yeah.
And you will, if you're looking for some amazing hand-to-hand combat, look no further than Bucky Barnes.
Oh, yeah.
Because
they went crazy on the fight choreography in Winter Soldier.
It's amazing.
With Bucky and with Captain America.
Oh, it's incredible. And that scene is just amazing because it proved to me that they weren't going to just rely on CGI to make sure that these movies were, you know, well executed. Another great example of this would be the Black Widow chair escape in the first Avengers film. That scene is so incredible, and I'm surprised I did not think about that because
really?
It is, well, I guess it's because, you know, obviously I'm partial to certain characters and I don't always look to Bucky. And one thing that my favorite moments in Winter Soldier though are not action moments. You know,
really?
I love Winter Soldier. You know, I mean, we discussed this at length.
We talked about it at length since it came out.
Yeah, Winter Soldier is an incredible film, but my favorite moments in those are the more, I would say, emotional moments and the scarier like reveals.
Mm-hmm.
I thought like the different like character reveals in Winter Soldier was amazing. It's like a mystery, and it's a really it's a combination.
It's a political thriller.
It's a political thriller. It's a very different type of movie, and it shows that the MCU can adapt so well, yet make the entire product that is the MCU seem so consistent.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Winter Soldier is one of the greatest testaments to that, and one of the greatest signs that you're okay to deviate from the norm. I think it was the very first example of like truly deviating from what was like the normal superhero film that we were getting from the MCU. Because it was like a spy. It was a spy movie. It was a political thriller. And it was amazing. And that scene takes the cake.
Yeah.
Great
I love
choice.
That scene.
Great choice.
But see, I'm surprised because there's been no overlap. So I have literally no idea what's coming. I mean, maybe I can guess, but I want to hear it.
The number one moment. And I don't even have to explain it. I'm just going to say the one line of dialogue I think that makes this scene perfect. I simply choose to call the scene, "Bring Me Thanos," when Thor arrives on Wakanda in Infinity War.
Yes.
And absolutely, what was amazing about that moment for me was it was truly the peak of that character.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting goosebumps right now thinking about that scene. Mm-hmm. When Thor arrives, and after he fully gets Stormbreaker, after risk, by the way, this man at this point is fatigued. He just had to like like, he had to take on the full force of a star.
Thor is star level confirmed, guys.
Thor is star level. And he was, and it was pure grit, and it was pure anger. Mm-hmm. Thor, you forget that in Infinity War, yes, people lost a lot. There was a lot of loss in that one. But Thor lost all of his brethren. Thor lost his entire, like, city. He lost Asgard.
Yeah.
And he lost his brother. And regardless of what you think of Loki, Loki was incredibly important to Thor. Mm-hmm. And to lose everyone to Thanos, that was finally Thor's chance to shine. And there was a really great moment because Bruce Banner said something that I thought, because he kind of said what everybody was thinking in the theater. Bruce Banner's wearing the Hulkbuster suit, and he says, "Y'all are so screwed." And he was right.
Because
we were all thinking that. When Thor arrives on Wakanda in Infinity War, we're all thinking, "Y'all are screwed." Because this man is not only Thor, he's angry. And that phrase, he just runs towards that and an entire army shouting, "Bring me Thanos." And you know that Thanos is about to be brought to him.
Yeah.
And Thor truly turns the tide of the entire movie. Mm-hmm. No, he clearly did not kill Thanos, but he was the closest one to doing it.
Yeah, he actually hurt Thanos, unlike some others who shall not be named.
Everyone.
Everyone else.
Everyone else. Thor was the only one capable of doing that. Mm-hmm. And one, again, that shows real progression. Let's think about this. That's our last Thor moment that we get thus far in the MCU. Mm-hmm. We're sure to get some amazing ones in Endgame. But from now, keep in mind, one of my moments was the very first Thor moment you get. And then my last Thor moment you get. The progression from that character when you compare those two scenes is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it seems organic.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about it. Thor is truly out here, and you feel what Thor feels. He's angry, he's upset, and he's going to crush everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I'll be damned if that guy just doesn't. He did. He destroyed nearly everybody on the battlefield except for the one person that was able to control the tide of the entire universe.
Yeah.
And that's why that is my number one.
Damn, I can't argue with that logic. Now I feel silly just picking a scene where guys punch each other.
No, it's a different kind of badass.
I know.
Different kind of badass. So, clearly, we won. No overlap. Super surprised. But again, just goes to show just how many incredible moments are in the MCU.
True.
And you and I both had to whittle these moments down. So we decided to leave some room for some honorable mentions because we can't list everything, and we're doing really well on time, by the way.
Good.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and let's list some honorable mentions, things that may not have made the list, and why. Clearly, we hold these moments in high regard, and these moments just barely didn't make the list.
Yeah.
It would have been very easy for us to do a top 10, but I guarantee you, y'all didn't want to sit through 2 hours of that.
Yeah. Do you want to just go like one at a time back and forth?
One at a time back and forth. Let's keep the formula going.
Okay, so the first one that I really was debating putting on here, funny that you should mention Iron Man 2, not the final scene. Although I like it, and I think it's underrated, there's a scene in that movie that I like even more.
Mm-hmm.
When Whiplash attacks Tony at the racetrack.
That was an amazing fight.
That scene is awesome. I love the way that Whiplash's original costume looked. In that it has this on, like, he is supposed to be sort of like a dark parallel to Iron Man. Mm-hmm. And just as we were talking about how cool it is, oh man, Iron Man built this suit for himself. This guy built a suit for himself.
Yeah.
And it's very low tech. But in some ways, it's got these things that Iron Man's suit can't do. He ambushes him. He takes advantage of the fact that Tony is arrogant enough to be racing.
Yeah.
And they have this huge fight. And Whiplash loses and he gets taken into custody, but it just sets up the rest of the movie. And I just love the like ballsiness of Iron Man and Whiplash, two like intellectual juggernauts in power armor fighting.
Oh yeah.
But I don't think it's as crazy or as important as the things I ended up picking.
Exactly. Yeah. You that know? Moment wasn't necessarily super impactful to even, I guess, like the rest of, like, you know.
Yeah. I mean.
But it was still incredible. When I saw Whiplash, like, cut an entire car in half.
Yeah.
I was like, because at first I was like, does this man really think he's going to beat Tony Stark? And then he cuts a car in half. I'm like, oh, he might.
Yeah. It's like, it's a cool moment. But I think that it is overshadowed by other moments, which, again, there's been a lot of these movies with a lot of moments, so not everything's gonna go. But what's one of your honorable mentions?
This is a moment that I think is one of those great moments because it's not action based. It's actually, it shows it's a testament to the amount of sacrifice that a character makes.
Mm-hmm.
And these superheroes, one thing that they all have in common is that they all have to make sacrifices.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this character was truly prepared to make the ultimate sacrifice. And again, I'm going to title this scene with a quote. This one is called Dormammu, I've Come to Bargain.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And what I think is so amazing about this scene is because, one, there's definitely some action moments. Doctor Strange gets killed a number of times in a number of creative ways.
Yeah.
And you definitely get to see him use his powers. Yeah. But Doctor Strange was definitely prepared to suffer for all of eternity to ensure that his planet was safe.
Yeah.
Dormammu was going to destroy everything. And Stephen Strange was going to go out there and said, I've trapped you in an infinite time loop. You can kill me forever. And it's not like he's not feeling pain.
Yeah.
He is dying. He dies more than everybody else dies. Like,
yeah.
This man died like 10 times.
Oh, way more than that.
And that's another great intellectual moment. Mm-hmm. That's an incredibly creative way to defeat a villain. I've never seen that. I could have never even considered that, you know, because this movie does take a lot of cues from a lot of different versions of the Doctors of this story. One of my favorites is the animated Doctor Strange movie that came out. And I think
we're both fans of that one.
Yeah, when it came out, like 2007 or something like that.
It was on Netflix recently.
Yeah, I actually remember watching it on Netflix, but before they did streaming, I ordered it on DVD.
Really?
I watched it on my PlayStation 2. My brother was a huge, we watched that together back when my brother used to tolerate that sort of stuff with me. And he was a huge fan of that as well.
Yeah.
But that's not how Dormammu was defeated in that. And so I think it's a really great creative way to defeat a villain. And I never would have thought of that. And that's why it almost made my moments. But in reality, it just wasn't, I couldn't see it beating Thor versus the Frost Giants. Yeah. I couldn't see it being the first reveal of Iron Man. I love Doctor Strange. I was very worried about the movie when it came out because I didn't know how they were going to pull it off. Doctor Strange is a very important character to me because he was kind of the first obscure character that I use quote obscure. He's still a heavy hitter in terms of Marvel, but he wasn't on the cover. He wasn't on lunchboxes when I was a kid.
Yeah.
But yeah, absolutely. Dormammu, I've Come to Bargain is definitely on my honorable mentions.
I feel that. So my next one is a scene that a lot of the ladies liked.
Oh, of course.
Because, I mean, we know, and you know, this...
I think I know what you're talking about.
You're a fitness guy. You exercise a lot. That's part of your whole thing. So, of course, I think you appreciated Captain America Civil War.
Yes!
Captain America holding down the helicopter with his superhuman physique. And that's an awesome scene because, one, I love the determination of Steve to protect Bucky. Mm-hmm. And he does it in a way that's awesome.
Yes.
Holding down a helicopter with his bare hands. But at the same time, it's a pretty quick scene.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really have like the biggest impact.
No, it's just kind of a
quick
weight.
But really cool. It's a very well shot moment. That's why I couldn't really justify putting it on my list proper. But it still is a moment I really like. In the theaters, it's like, oh man, this is cool.
Oh, absolutely. And Duncan, I'll say that's our first overlap.
Really?
Yeah. So, and it's funny enough, what I'm going to do is I had like 10 like honorable mentions, so I'm going to list another one. But okay. In this place, because I can discuss every one of them. But what I was going to say about that is that all of the world was looking at a single man's bicep for like a good month. Like,
yeah.
I remember walking out of the theater with my dad and I was saying, do you see Chris Evans' bicep during that scene? He goes, yeah, we all did.
How could you not?
It was crazy. And yeah, and I think that one thing that is really, really great about that scene is that you forget how truly strong Captain America is, because he does a lot of calisthenic work and he does a lot of shield throwing and he does a lot of punching. You forget that Steve is really strong. Like, hold down that's a helicopter with his bare hands. That's what that
super soldier serum does for you, man.
Exactly, right? And why they were never able to perfect it again.
Yeah.
It's incredibly effective. And it was such a great scene because I think that it reminded everybody, one, that man's biceps are massive. Two, Captain America is ridiculously strong and is not to be, you know, overlooked. Yeah. He's a great leader. And I think that we look to Captain America for a lot of different things. But not necessarily his strength. We look to him for his values, his ability to lead, and, you know, his ability to kick ass. But we don't necessarily view him as an incredibly – as long as Hulk and Thor are on the team, view him as somebody that's incredibly physically powerful. But that scene reminded us that he is.
Yeah.
So, absolutely. Good choice, Duncan. So, what I'll go ahead and do is I'll list another one, because I kind of expected overlap when it came to the – to one of the categories. So I prepared one in the back burner. And this is one of those moments that I actually only took off the list because I would have had too many Thor moments.
Oh my God.
But I think you'll agree with this one. Okay. So this is one that we often forget.
Mm-hmm.
When Thor is attempting to retrieve his hammer from the shield tent.
Yeah. We've talked about that one before.
That scene is amazing because now you're seeing what Thor is like without his powers. And it just goes to show that when Thor is not the god of thunder, he'll still kick your ass. Because that I love. And again, I love hand-to-hand combat. And it's something that I often miss in these movies, you know, especially now that we've got Doctor Strange in the mix and we've got, you know, with the exception of, you know, Drax, we've got Guardians of the Galaxy, lots of people that shoot stuff.
Yeah.
So it's really great to see somebody just knuckle down. And it was really, really great to see Thor just rock some people with his bare hands. Yeah. And of course, another physique admiring moment when he's attempting to lift his hammer off the ground and all of his muscles are just rippling. Incredible scene. Of course, the rain adds to it. It's an incredibly well shot scene. I'm a big fan of like those like not like single frame or single shot action scenes, but this one it very closely resembles one because you're kind of following him around this tent as he retrieves his hammer. And it's like you're playing a video game. It's like you're playing, you're running through and, you know, a new foe appears around the corner and you've got to kick his ass. And Thor does exactly that. I will never forget those moments because Thor in that first movie, again, they nailed his character.
Yeah.
And again, that shows, you know, this is right before Thor has matured. He's still arrogant. He still believes that he's entitled to that hammer and that he can just pick it up whenever he wants. And clearly he was unable. And that's a learning moment for him. That's a coming of age moment for him.
Yeah.
So another great scene. But again, it's not Bring Me Thanos. And it's not even the it's about on par with like the Iron Man thing. But reality is that with Iron Man 2 fight, with the beam struggle.
Yeah.
But the beam struggle was far more creative.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at that point, it's just kind of Thor punching people incredibly well. But, you know.
Yeah, So I'll give one more.
Your last honorable mention. Yes, of course.
The reason I kept this one off was because it's too long.
It's too long?
It's not a moment. It's really like a 10-minute scene, really. I think the most underrated movie for me in the MCU is The Incredible Hulk. I like The Incredible Hulk a lot. I think Edward Norton did a really great job. And I think that Tim Roth as Emil Blonsky, the Abomination, is very underrated. And so the fight between Abomination and Hulk through the streets of Harlem has always been one of my favorites. It's a scene between two ridiculously powerful, you know, muscle guys punching each other, throwing cars, smashing up the place. It's very destructive. And I've always really liked that because the MCU has a lot of hand-to-hand fights like Bucky versus Captain America, beam struggles, shooting, all that. To just see
hammer throwing,
to see like the two strongest guys in the MCU at that time, and probably still amongst the strongest, just going hand to hand in the streets. There's something special about that. But I think there are some issues with the way it's shot. Namely, the fact that it's shot at night is a little weird.
Yeah.
I think that they learned from that. Oh, most of the other scenes are not shot at night. Or if they're shot at night, they're lit better. And also, I can't really pinpoint a specific moment from that sequence that's like, oh man, that's the perfect moment. It's just kind of like that whole sequence means a lot to me.
Yeah.
So I can't really call it a moment. It's...
And you know, Duncan, what I'm going to do here, and I'm going to publicly rescind some of my thoughts here. So I actually rewatched Incredible Hulk recently, and
now he's learned.
And it's definitely far. Duncan and I, you know, we've been friends for many, many years. We're since high school.
Yeah.
And we used to argue about this movie, and I used to say that I didn't like it. I used to say that it sucked, but I rewatched it, and it's good. It's not only is it good, it's really good. And yeah. One thing that I think that people kind of have retroactively decided that the movie wasn't good because they misinterpret the recasting from Edward Norton to Mark Ruffalo as, oh, the movie tanked, so they recasted as Mark Ruffalo. That wasn't
the
case.
That's not what happened.
It was much more amicable. And actually, Edward Norton does a really good job. If you haven't seen it, do what I did. Go back and rewatch the movie, and you'll be pleasantly surprised. But I will agree. I do think that one of my biggest issues with that fight, and I don't have very many, because the fight is great. It's really good. My issue was that, like, for me, there wasn't as much of a reason for Hulk to truly overcome Abomination. Mm-hmm. There wasn't a lot. Like, obviously, there were some external forces of inspiration that caused him to, like, snap to it and really overcome Abomination. But it wasn't enough. Like, that emotional, dramatic moment wasn't enough of a turning point for me to be like, oh, wow. Because to me, when I was watching, it was just kind of like, oh, so he just kind of came to and started knocking the shit out of him, and then eventually he won. Mm-hmm. So that's where my issue lies. But in reality, the fight scene is great. The fight, I'm using air quotes right now, choreography, it's pretty CGI, is awesome. And it was a really cool fight. And I think that it was really creative how they made use of their environment to fight each other. And yeah, really, really good scene. And again, really good movie. Go back and watch it. It's been forgotten. And I think that it deserves a bit more.
And that's a shame.
Yeah. So my last moment is one that was actually really hard for me to leave off of the list.
Really?
And the reason why I left it off was because I had thought of some of these moments and I realized that I just liked them more. This moment was really great because it has a certain appeal to me that is often not as done in action movies. And this is Iron Man versus Bucky and Cap at the end of Civil War.
Oh, yeah.
And the reason, and I'm not talking about the whole fight. And again, if I was discussing the whole fight, it would have been breaching the rules of our quote-unquote, like, you know.
That's what kept it away from mine.
Yeah. So the whole, that's not the whole fight. It is what I was describing earlier. That single shot moment when you're looking at them from that side view.
Yeah.
And they're being lit from, like, the back from that window there, or, you know, open air because there's a lot of explosions. And what was really great about it was that Iron Man's suit was on its last leg. Mm-hmm. He wasn't able to fly anymore, and he was outnumbered. At this point, Bucky lost an arm during this scene. Yeah. You know, it was insane. And Captain America wasn't fighting, you know, an enemy. He was fighting his friend. Mm-hmm. So there was this degree of hesitation. And it was tired. It was a fatigued fight. You could tell they were putting their all into it. For me, it reminded me a lot of the very final last battle scene between Naruto and Sasuke at the valley.
That's sort of like
when they're fatigued and they're out of chakra.
And it's just hand to hand.
Yeah, and Naruto cares about Sasuke.
Yeah.
But like, you can tell that when they're following through, they're really out of it because they're not able to like pull back as quickly.
Yeah.
And Iron Man, I remember he gets leg swept or like, mm-hmm. gets a shield in the leg or something. And he's like, his legs, like kind of like his knees are on the ground and he's still like shooting them with his beams. It was just an incredibly, a really, really great like moment. But what kept me from it was one, we would have had a lot of Iron Man on my list. Two, yeah. There are better moments from every single one of those characters. And we listed them all. Like, there's better Cap moments. There's better Bucky moments, as you had put in your list. And there's certainly better Iron Man moments. But it was just a really good scene overall. And it was hard for me to keep it off that list. But it was harder for me to justify that one. For me, that I like that scene because I like it. And I have a preference towards, like, single-shot action scenes. But
I think one thing about that kind of kept it away from my list was that I love that movie. Mm-hmm. Civil War might be my favorite MCU movie. I can't really decide. I'm always like juggling a couple back and forth.
That's its own podcast.
That's its own podcast. But that scene to me never like came off as badass in the way of watching Cap fight a bunch of people in an elevator did, or watching Iron Man like take out all these terrorists. That was a very emotional scene. You know, you're watching allies fight, and maybe they're holding back, trying not to kill the other people, but it's still very raw and very intense, and it's an extremely well done scene. I would say it's one of the best scenes in any MCU movie, but it doesn't have that same sort of like, wow, that's so awesome. You know, I can't wait to watch that scene again. It's a lot to unpack emotionally.
Yeah, and you know, honestly, now looking back at it, it's probably not on my list because it's really not badass. It's just kind of sad.
Sad, yeah.
Sad ass.
It's cool. It's a super well-done scene. Like, massive props to the people who choreographed that fight.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's very dynamic.
And you felt that.
Yeah.
You felt every hit.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's a great scene, but to me, it kind of falls outside of the this badass kind of mentality that I had for these other scenes.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably more along the lines of the Thanos snap. It kind of emits a similar emotion.
That's not a badass scene. That's one of the best scenes in any Marvel movie, but it's not because it's badass.
Exactly. Yeah, but you know, overall, I think that, you know, between the both of us, we were able to discuss 16 really solid MCU scenes. That was really productive. One overlap.
In the honorable mentions.
In the honorable mentions, which is honestly where I'm glad we had the overlap. I was a little worried that we would be discussing the same scenes, but overall, really great stuff. Clearly, both of us have impeccable taste when it comes to this sort of thing.
Of course. So the most impeccable, one might say.
Of course. That's why we have this. That's why we've been given the authority by the MCU themselves to create this podcast in my bedroom. So if you're listening to this, you know, and there's a few of you that actually do listen to this podcast all the way through. So why don't you go ahead and let us know? I'm sure I'll be posting this on Facebook and my Instagram. My Instagram, by the way, is @bearded_and_nerdy to keep up on both this podcast and all the other bearded and nerdy endeavors. But let us know what your most badass MCU moments are. And of course, maybe we'll go ahead and we'll mention this on the next podcast.
Yeah.
And we're going to try to put this one out as soon as possible. But Duncan, I think it's about time to wrap up because we have another podcast to plan.
Yes, and I have school tomorrow.
Duncan has school tomorrow. He does not have the luxury of spring break that I do. So, Duncan, why don't you see our listeners out?
All right. Thanks for tuning in, and we will see you next time.